Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. Please become a regular listener. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast on W Public Access Channel number 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give a view. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs. TV programs are there. We also have a host of other Bible-related material, free Bible correspondence courses, and a host of articles and PowerPoints and sermons that can help you and aid you in your study of any subject of God's Word. Please give a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given a regular meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you your need for God in your life and your happy relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please come by and visit us. We would love to see you. For the past few months, we have been examining the characteristics of fruit of the Spirit. Today, we want to continue our discussion in the fruit of the Spirit, but we want to begin again by reading our text from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now in the King James Version, instead of the word gentleness, it uses the word meekness. And that is our subject for today. The fruit of the Spirit of meekness that is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Now of all of the attributes that we will examine, this is probably one of the most misunderstood. In the Lord's great Sermon on the Mount, one of the attributes that He commended was meekness. He said in Matthew 5, verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Not "blessed are the weak, for they shall inherit the earth." Not "blessed are the strong, for they shall inherit the earth." But "blessed are the meek." Notice that He said meek. Let me give you something to consider in seeking to understand what Jesus meant. Those who are strongly, almost fiercely, competitive, aggressive, and assertive are the ones who receive recognition, admiration, and reward. Do they not seem to end up on top of the pile, possessing the most and best despite others' obvious and perhaps even offensive character flaws? Now I want you to think about that for just a moment. And as you're thinking about that, let us show you what the real meaning of meekness is, or gentleness. It comes from a Greek word. It means mildness. It means meekness. It's founded upon this ideal that it goes beyond it. It is the attitude of mind and behavior which arising from humility disposes one to receive with gentleness and meekness whatever comes their way. Now let me say that again. It arises from one's humility that disposes one to receive with gentleness and meekness whatever may come their way. That definition comes from the Online Bible Greek Lexicon. Let me give you another one from BibleTools.org. According to Aristotle, it is the middle standing between two extremes, getting angry without reason and not getting angry at all. Therefore, meekness is getting angry at the right time, in the right measure, and for the right reason. It is a condition of mind and heart which demonstrates gentleness, not in weakness, but in power. It is balance born in strength of character. Now let me say that again. It is balance born in strength of character. Meekness is patience in the reception of injury. It is neither meanness, nor surrendering our rights, nor cowardice. But it is the opposite of sudden anger, of malice, of long-harbored vengeance. Meekness produces a peace. It is proof of true greatness of one's soul. It comes from a heart too great to be moved by little insults. It looks upon those who offer them with pity. He that is constantly ruffled and suffers every little insult or injury you throw at him and get him off guard, and it raises a storm of passion within. It is at the mercy of every mortal that chooses to disturb him. He is like the troubled sea that cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. You see, he has no control. He has no ability over his emotions and his feelings. Therefore, meekness is one who has his emotions and feelings under control. That's what meekness is. It is to have one's emotions under control, even when wronged, even when insulted, even when tribulation and adversity comes our way. We must have this calmness of soul that we accept it with great meekness. Jesus explaining why one should be his disciple in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy labor laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. It is because he is meek and lowly in heart, that is, he is not harsh, nor is he overbearing. He truly cares about those who are under his control. The second reason that you might find rest for your soul, for those who follow Christ, there is a pause from the cares and concerns and ambitions of this life. Yet I think the main rest that Christ offers will come in the hereafter. It is clearly stated that those who are not saved will at that time have no rest. In Revelation 14, verse 11, the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. The third reason that his yoke is easy, there is a yoke for Christians. There is yet a rule of law that we are to follow, but it is easy and light compared to the law of Moses, which brought condemnation and was unbearable at times, according to Acts 15, verse 10. Christ's government is gentle and his laws are easy to obey. That doesn't mean that this statement contradicts Matthew 7, 13 and 14. There is only difficulty for two fundamental reasons. One, it is finding the road to life because there are so many false teachers that confuse and confound the simplicity that is in Christ. Two, because if we live in the flesh, our carnal mind will not allow us to be meek nor to accept the law of God. And so, you see, meekness here, as we read in Matthew 11 in our Lord, it is demonstrating that he is not harsh, he's not overbearing. So a person who is meek cannot be harsh, cannot be overbearing. And he must have confidence and have control of his emotions and his reactions to when he is confounded by problems, by tribulation, by difficulty, by insults, and by injury. He must control how he reacts. Lowliness is another synonym that we could look at in talking about meekness. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. In Ephesians 4, Paul exhorts us to walk worthily with lowliness and meekness. These are grouped with one another as essential characteristics, such as long-suffering and forbearance. We see the point here as we compare the two passages. Because Jesus appeals to others and governs his kingdom in meekness and lowliness, his children must also behave in this same manner towards one another. This is how we build and maintain unity within the church. It depends on our individual ability to receive offenses without being retaliatory, without desiring revenge, and being forgiving towards one another when we make mistakes or we find ourselves out of step. A church whose members lack these qualities will excel in divisiveness. And so lowliness and meekness is really being dependent upon us behaving in a manner that is in accordance with our character and with the character that God demands of his children. Obviously, we have an inflated assessment of ourselves. We are not very spiritual, and we are not very gentle and meek if we have a haughty and arrogant attitude about our conduct. Read Romans 12:3, we are not to think too highly of ourselves. In Galatians 6, verse 1, we must consider ourselves. If we ever have any hope of bringing others back, we have to first consider ourselves. And 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, if we don't take heed, we shall surely fall. Haughtiness will not help us in our walk with God. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he might exalt you in due time. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. In James 4, verse 6 and 10, surely such an attitude goes before a fall, according to the great wise man Solomon in Proverbs 16, 18. David, when persecuted by Saul, in 1 Samuel 24, and verse 14, David could have easily had an overweight, exceedingly plump ego. He had previously been selected to be anointed as king by highly revered Samuel. He had conquered Goliath, the 9-to-10-foot Philistine champion warrior in 1 Samuel 17. He was such a heroic and fearsome warrior that women from the city of Israel flooded the streets and chanted, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. 1 Samuel 18, 6 and 7. But David was meek. He could handle in the right way the good things that came his way, but he could also handle the injuries. He was respectful to the king, Saul, when Saul did not deserve his respect, and he would not lift his hand against his person while referring to himself as a dead dog, which would be doubly repulsive to a Jew, because dogs were considered unclean while they were alive, but doubly so rotting as carcasses when they were dead. The flea, a small yet pesky and contemptible insect that is difficult to kill, but is hardly any prize when he is terminated. You see, the point here is, David demonstrated that he was meek. When Saul tried to take his life, he endured it. And when he had the opportunity on two occasions to take Saul's life, to practice vengeance or to get even or to kill him before he was killed, he would not lift his hand against the anointed. He accepted the injury. He accepted it with calmness. He understood. He had that meek character. That's what made him a great king. That's what made him able to endure all the hostility that he endured while Saul sought his life, because he knew that God had chosen him to be the next king over Israel. And when Saul fell out of favor because of his own disobedience, then he sought David's life. But David's meek character became a help to him in dealing with Saul. And it helped him not retaliate. It helped him not to look to get vengeance. And it helped him not to take God's time into his own hand and try to force God's hand. God would deal with Saul in his time. David was content to do that. That's why he would not lift his hand against the Lord's anointed, because he would let God take care of that when it was time. Yes, meekness is emotion and feelings when injured, when insulted, when trial, when tribulation comes, that we remain calm and we keep our spirit in check. This is a quality of great strength. Of great strength and a great thing to others can observe in us. Next week we will conclude our study upon meekness, and we hope you will tune in again then. And again, please come and worship the Lord with us to this day. Thank you.